I think that we want to understand that it's important to have wise statements of life that will lead us and guide us so that we can make wise decisions in life. But more than just making wise decisions, behind the wisdom, we want to remember that wisdom comes from God. Okay? The source of wisdom ultimately comes from the Lord. Though there are so many so-called wise sayings in the world. You go to any bookshop, they'll tell you self-help books, and there's so many things about how to live your life, how to be rich, how to live a happy life, and there's so many things out there, right? And the challenge is, how do you discern actually what works? What is it that actually can help you as a young adult in terms of your work today? How do you discern? How do you see the difference between worldly wisdom and the wisdom that is from divine origin, that is from God? So that's the challenge as we study the book of Ephesians. And ultimately, we want to recognize that wisdom comes from God. So book of Ecclesiastes is actually a book of wisdom. But it is a book of wisdom with a context of a man who finds it very hard to understand life beyond a certain way of looking at it. So he struggles with life. He struggles with death. He struggles with some of the things that he has experienced to the fullest. And yet, he cannot find the meaning in sounds. That's why he struggles, he sorrows, even though he has God in his life. Right? And I think we all sometimes identify with that. And yet, in the midst of all that, we still have to discern what is most relevant in terms of the wisdom that we can apply to our life at every stage. Right? For some of us, we're just going to start work soon, going to find a job. For some of us, it is about, okay, how do I go about working now that I've started working? And some of us who have been working for some time, how do you see a bit more? And yet, how do I really want to live my life? And the amount of wisdom you can gain is limitless. Every session, every time you come, there's something more that you can understand. But ultimately, we must recognize that wisdom comes from God. You follow? And that's what we are trying to do. We're trying to ascertain what is important for us to apply with at whatever stage you are in your life. And you have to discern, because a lot of times we don't discern. We take, okay, this is what this person say, and then this person, this is a famous saying, this is what this person said. But then after a while, you realize, hey, is that totally true? So we have to discern between worldly wisdom and true wisdom that's from God. Okay, and I think that's what's most important. And then we come to Ecclesiastes, towards the last part already. Chapter 12, 10, 11, 12. And we're coming to the end of chapter 10. Today we will deal with that. And then we'll move on to 11. And now we are basically looking at proverbial sayings. Okay, he puts everything into a nutshell. Some of them are very good, some of them we have to think through a bit more, but mostly these are things that we want to consider. And so we come, previously we talked about how time and chance can happen, and be very careful how we go about doing things. A fool also multiply words. A serpent may bite when it is not charmed, and so on. Right? That's what we did last week. Now, we come to the next part in verse 16. It says, "Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child and your princes feast in the morning." Now, today we want to begin first by, there are four things that we're going to talk about today, and we'll discuss it along the way. Let me just go through it, and then we will think through it together. And so the first thing we're going to talk about is leadership. And I think we all are concerned about leadership, because working in the world, includes this idea of leadership. Right? Soon enough, you get promoted, you have to lead others. Being in church, you serve in different areas, you are given responsibilities, you have to lead others. Right? So leadership is important. Now, he says here, a king is a child. Woe is the land. Right? A child does not have the wisdom nor the knowledge to run a country. And yet, in a country when the king dies, okay, of course this is during the time in the Old Testament, when the king dies, sometimes the king can die young. Sometimes the king goes to war and he dies young. And the child takes over the kingship. Right? And the heir to the throne would often be a child. And this will be very often how the land will be, how the country will be run, depending on the advisor to the child. If it's a good advisor, the child will perhaps make good decisions. But if the child has a bad advisor, very cunning, then the land will also suffer. Nevertheless, if you have a bad advisor, if you have a child king, very often it tends to have bigger problems. Now, let's turn to 2 Kings 21. Just to see this in real life. 2 Kings 21. Manasseh, when he was 12 years old, okay? He was only 12 years old when he became king. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did evil in the sight of God according to the abominations of the nation whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah... So his father, Hezekiah, was a good man, was a good king. But when Hezekiah died and Manasseh took over, he was only 12 years old. Right? What were you all doing when you were 12 years old? What were you doing? Michelle, what were you doing when you were 12 years old? During your free time. No free time. 12 years old, no free time. Okay, after PSLD. Okay, after PSLD. Right? Okay, for you, 12 years old, you're only thinking about PSLD. Right? Have you any idea how to run a country? No. You can't even finish your PSLD. How to run the country? 12 years old, Manasseh, he was there to run the country. Okay? And look, straight away, he decided, you know what? I'm going to rebuild the idols. So now the land is going to worship idols. No more worshipping God. Okay? And Hezekiah's father had raised up and made a wooden image as Ahab, king of Israel, had done. So he followed the wrong example and he worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. He built altars in the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. I would put my name. And he built altars and all the hosts of heaven and full count of the house. And he made his son pass through the fire. In other words, okay, so when he was older, when he had his own children, he began to sacrifice his own children. Okay? 12 years old, Manasseh, he became. Okay, so that's an example. Woe is the land. Can you see? Okay, and so there is this grave danger. Grave danger when you have a leader who is inexperienced. So, what's the point? The point is when you have inexperienced people, when you have a child who is inexperienced, there's no wisdom from God, he is just learning how to survive in this world, how is he going to lead the country? Can you see that? And Prince feasts in the morning. Prince feasts in the morning. Now, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with kings feasting in the morning? There's nothing wrong with, right? You go to a holiday, you go to the hotel, there's a buffet breakfast. King feasts in the morning. Why is that wrong? is it wrong? Is it wrong? Is it okay? Or is it wrong? No. Sorry? In what way? Yes. In other words, they are more concerned about enjoyment, pleasure. They are more concerned about their stomach. They are more concerned not about the land, about the people. He is more concerned about his own pleasure. Can you see? Right? He's more concerned about feasting, drinking in the morning. Right? Leaders should be in the morning waiting to, you know, meet with people, rule the land. Okay, recently, of course, there was this prince who spent all his time having pleasure, and that prince, Andrew, no more called Prince Andrew. He's called Andrew Mountbatten something. Mr. No more. All his royal titles all taken. So he's been arrested, he's been out of jail, they're gonna charge him, and Prince Charles has stopped speaking to him, and so on. Why? Because he spent... Now, he was used to be a trade ambassador for Britain. Okay? He will go there, he will shake hands with people, give speech. After that, next, he will be on a yacht somewhere, and there will be a lot of people with him. He's enjoying himself. And then, of course, along the way, he met this person called Epstein, and then finally, he got involved in some rather horrible thing. And he was caught. Right? Princess feasting in the morning. Okay? So that is a problem. So it's important for us to look at good leadership. On the other hand, blessed are you, O land, when your king is the son of noble. Okay, that's very interesting. Sons of noble. But you may ask yourself, isn't royal line, they all come from nobles? Right? If you are part of the royal line, you should be part of, you know, your parents, they all should be sons of noble. And your princes feast at the proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. So part of the problem feasting in the morning is drunkenness. Now, of course, here we see the prince, they are wiser, right? They are diligent, they are more hardworking, they will feast at the right time when they need to. They eat when they need the strength. So in other words, they are using up their strength. They are using up their strength to work hard. Can you see the point? Right? They are responsible, they are wise rulers. They feast at the right time, and you know they are sons of noble. Okay. Now, what is the difference? What is the difference here between the first group, princes who feast in the morning, and then the second, you can feast at the right time? What time you eat is also very important. So what's the difference? What is the difference? Okay, you all think about it. What's the difference? Now we go on to the next part. The next one says, because of laziness. Now, so leadership, and then you have laziness. Okay, laziness, because of laziness, the building decays. And through idleness of hand, the house leaks. Buildings are neglected, people are lazy, buildings are not carefully looked after. Okay, you've been in Bethany, in your cleanup. Where in Bethany is it? toilet. Where? Which one? Huh? The what? Level 1, guys, which part is leaking? Is it? Do you tell them? Nothing is done. Okay, better go get this done. Huh? Okay, better go in. Good that you raised up. Okay, any other place leaking? Where else is leaking? I better go and settle all this thing. Precisely! If it's not done, let us know, or let me know, or let one of the pastors know, because we really need to look into it. Level 1 guy for that. Okay, where else is leaking? Literally leaking when it rains. You know? Outside the sanctuary. Which part? Yeah, outside is okay. Outside is that one can't be helped. That one will try to work on it. Where else is leaking? Indoor. There's one place that's leaking. Always leaks when it rains. You know? Fourth floor. Staircase. This little ladder that goes up is always me. I really told people to look into it. It's been looked into many times. It's still me. Okay, so that one, we really got to rethink how to look at it. Because of the opening, it will always be. Right? Okay, I'm going to give you a friendly advice. Okay, in time to come when you are rich, you have a lot of money, and buy a house. Try not to buy a penthouse. Okay? I tell you first. Try not to buy a penthouse. If you want to buy, that's up to you. There are some people in church that bought a penthouse. That's fine, that's fine. But I can tell you the big problem that they have. What's the big problem that they have? Huh? Okay, it's very hot, yes. But there's another problem, especially if they are older ones. Leak is very hard to resolve. I tell you that. Very hard. I've come across at least 4 times friends of mine, people who I know, bought penthouse. Wow, you know, they really redid the whole place and, you know, waterproof. Okay, so I've come across four different people who bought penthouse and having problems. Okay, just a friendly advice. Besides the point, right? But the point is, at the end of the day, laziness, if you don't look into details, right? If you don't take the time, things are going to crumble, things are going to be worn out, and wear and tear is going to come, and the building is going to look very, very crappy. Right? Things will start. So for us, Bethany Church, we have a roster, all the pastors will go around the church every day to look if there is any problem. We'll raise it up straight away. Right? This leaks, that is a problem. Reno, I'll make sure someone looks into it. Right? And you know, these are things that you really have to look into. Why? Because you go to the public toilet, the male urinal, out there, they don't look into it, and you know, wow, it's horrible, it's leaking all over. Okay, now what does that got to do with the first one? What does that got to do with princess eating at the right time? Okay, keep that thought. Okay, now we go on to the next one. And the next one is money answers everything. Wow. A feast is made for laughter and wine makes merry and money answers everything. Huh? Is that true? Money answers everything. Okay, people experience laughter during a feast, enjoyment. They make merry with wine. Again, the idea of feasting, right? Again, the idea of feasting, the prince feasting. Okay, and then they are having merry. But money answers everything. Let go. Let fall. What do you think? There's some people in the world that say, money is king. Right? Money is king. Money, time is money. Money is king. So, is this true? As a Christian, do we totally agree with this? How should we see this? And then we come to the last part. He says here, verse 20, do not curse the king. Even in your thought, do not curse the king, even in your bedroom, for a bird of the air may carry your voice. Another friendly advice. Don't have a bird as your pet, especially those who can talk. You know, there are some birds that can talk. Be careful, because they can repeat what you say. Right? Anybody here is a bird who is a... You have a bird, is it? Oh, I cannot talk. And a bird in flight may tell them the matter. My goodness. You know, there was recently, I was watching some video, and there was this bird that witnessed... So the bird was repeating something again and again. Right? It's actually the repetition of the person's name who killed this person. And the person before being killed was shouting out the person's name. And the bird was an evidence. The bird became a part of the evidence to finding out who was the murderer in the end. It was very interesting. Secondly, if you want to murder someone, make sure you don't have a bird as a pet. Okay? Sorry? Why do you have a pet, is it? Birds, still have? No more already, Oh, is it? Then how? Or die already? You know, bird, is very smelly, okay? I tell you this story. Okay, let's not go into that. Yeah, but let me tell you a story. There was one, my brother, Pastor Mark, this one was telling, he was telling us. He was staying in the same room with my eldest brother during a SEA Games in Jakarta. Okay, my family used to play water polo for the SEA Games. And one of the water polo officials, he's a vet. Okay? And he bought this very, last time you can never buy any kind of bird to bring back to Singapore. So he bought this very exotic bird. And he said, hey, can I put it in your room? Put it in Pastor Mark's room. Okay? Last time they were playing water polo, national water polo team. And then put it in your room. And the water polo team, I mean, the SEA Games was 2 weeks, they were there for. So he put it there, and I tell you, he was saying that people come into a room and say, why your room so smelly? Because after a while, you get used to the smell. You actually get used to the smell. But the room was so smelly, because of the smell. Anyway, coming back to the point. Right, the king, so in other words, don't curse the king or the rich. Because curses in our thoughts and in private, sometimes it's best not to think about it or state it in private, because there's a way of it getting around to others. Okay, now my point of it all. Okay, so laziness, money, and then cursing. What does one thing that we have all in common? Right, they seem like it's all very random, isn't it? Right, especially money involved. Money just comes out of nowhere. What is one thing that can tie all four things together? What is one thing that he wants to bring across? Yeah. Okay, discipline. Partly is discipline, but what's behind discipline? Sure, discipline helps us to look at details, look into cracks, in crevices, and whatever else, in the house. What is one thing that's important? And go back to the beginning. Talking about good leadership. What's important with reference to good leadership? It's there in the passage. You can see that it's mentioned, that it's not mentioned anywhere else. It's emphasizing something in this passage that he has not emphasized in any of the other passages so far. Right? So from woe, bless, because, a feast, do not curse. What's one thing that he has emphasized, he has not emphasized in the rest of the other verses? Can see? Someone sent me a WhatsApp message today. He said, "Wow, Pastor Mitch, thank you for teaching at a family camp. It's been an eye-opening experience for us. And you open up our eyes." And so the person kept saying about eye-opening, and okay. Setting aside I was talking about my eyes being, operation and all. The person just said, eye opening. Okay, have you got your eye opening experience? What is one word that you have not seen in the book of Jesus? See, that's how you look at passages in the Bible. You look at it. Then there's something that stands out. He's trying to emphasize. It seems like everything's the same, but it's not. There's something that's trying to emphasize. Anybody want to try? Yes, what do you think? Let's try. What do you think, okay, let me put it in. What do you think is very lacking in people? You don't see this very often. Let's put it in another way. In the world today, it's all about self. It's about how, what is gained for me? What can I gain out of this? It's all about myself, right? This is something that you don't see very much. Okay, selflessness, some more. That's part of it, but there's something that's important to look at. That can summarize, that can help us apply all this in the right way. The word that is used in the parable of the sower. Start to the letter N. Look, it's there. Sons of So the thing is, what is important to have is mobility. Mobility. What is mobility? It's something that you don't see very often. A lot of people don't talk about mobility. A son of a noble doesn't mean just this person is from a noble. He is raised in nobility. Okay, see? He is raised in nobility. He understands mobility. So as what is a good leader? A good leader is one who is noble. A person who does not focus on himself. He is kind, he is wise, he understands how to put the country first. Nobility. Can you see? He who listens to the word with a noble heart. Nobility is something that is being emphasized today. A noble man, you see, what is a person who puts others first? A person who puts the country first. In Singapore, even though we have good government, a lot of times it's still, you know, self. What can I gain out of it? You scratch my back, I scratch your back. Right, a lot of times. But then, there are also very good leaders that will put the country first. For example, Mr. Lee Kuan Yew. Right? Recently, someone did a tattoo of Mr. Lee Kuan Yew on his arm. Tattoo Mr. Lee Kuan Yew. Right? You go and read, you go and put it on the internet, yeah, you say, most influential people in the world, in history, right? Jesus, Muhammad, the Lord Jesus, Muhammad, a few others, right? And 6 and 7 will be Lee Kuan Yew. His name will come up. You go and you put that, his name will come up, Lee Kuan Yew. In America, he's in some ways very well recognized. Quote him, former British Tony Blair. He said, if you really want to know how to be a good leader, how he transforms Singapore. In some ways, you see the nobility. It's not about money, it's not about yourself. Well, maybe partly himself, but you know what? It's about the country. He knew where he wants to go with the country. He was fearless. Fearless with reference to what he wanted a people to know. Nobility. Nobility is a very rare characteristic that people, that very rare, you don't really see it. And yet it's something that perhaps each one of us may display at certain times in certain ways. But to be able to see a person with a noble heart, a person who is raised in nobility, the person is going to lead the country, to lead the church in a certain way. And it's going to benefit. Blessed is this nation. Blessed are the people. Woe is the country with a child king, but blessed is the country with a king that is noble. Blessed is also the church when we have a noble heart. Nobility. Now, how does it relate to laziness? A person is lazy, the building is going to suffer. Everything is going to crumble. Your own home is going to have cracks. It's going to be. Right? But a person is noble, he is diligent. Right? He's disciplined. He really would look into details. Right? So the toilet will be looked into. Right? Which urinal? Okay, please go and check. See whether it's still. If it's leaking, please let me know. I'll get to the bottom of it. Right? These things are. We must look into it. Like, okay, for example, second floor, male toilet, the flush system has a bit of a problem. You know, I make sure, you know, the person who's in charge will look into it. Finally, it's looked into. And the issue is, you know what? The mechanism behind, there's some dust or something that when you press, it doesn't cause the thing to flush. So it's just a matter of wiping it, cleaning it, and then now it's okay. But you need a plumber, right? So these things are unique. So a noble person would look into details, he would have the ability to look into details. Right? Okay, now we come to the money part. How do we see the money part? How does nobility play out? Money answers everything. Now, is he bringing it across in a positive way or not? Or negative? Is he right or is he wrong? Money answers everything. Yes? No? Don't know? Okay, anyway. Okay, the point is, does money answer everything? Practically. Yes, depends, right? Depends on the context, isn't it? And in the context here, it's with reference to ruling the nation, looking after the nation, right? Feasting and so on. Part of the context is with reference to the king, right? So the last part, do not curse the king. Blessed are you, your king. Laziness, buildings, hands of the... Idleness of hands, the house leak. Feast is made for laughter, wine, money answers everything. If you really want to rule a country well, you need money. You understand? That's the point that you're trying to make. You follow. So look at the context. The context is with reference to the king, with reference to ruling the land. If you are a noble king, you have nobility, you know how to use money well. And money can answer a lot of things. Of course, it cannot answer many other things in life, especially the spiritual aspect, but that's not the point. The point here is in reference to you know, ruling, looking after the nation. Right? And because our country, Singapore, is rich, we are well, we know, we have wise kings, we have wise rulers, you know, and the government is able to support. So another, what, $600 coming along the way? 500 or 600? These people came out yesterday. $500. You're getting it. You get, right? Wow, shouldn't be happy. I'm happy, man. Every time the government give me money, I just take another $600 or something like that. They are going to fast forward. Right? So, do you get? Yeah? No, you don't get. So, you must be citizen. Sorry? Paying taxes. Yeah, to give to us. And yeah, so thank God for a country, a nation like Singapore, and thank God for a church that has been wise in the way we use it. Right? If we want to build, rebuild on this piece of land, we want to extend further, we need to have a certain amount of money. So money does answer everything. Noble person knows how to use it. Can you see that? And then finally, this idea of cursing. A person who is noble, in private, he also watches what he says. He's careful what he says. He doesn't curse the king. He doesn't curse the rich. But ultimately, the rich is the one that gives the money, isn't it? You understand? You see the point? The rich are the one that gives the money, supports the king. And he uses the money well. You understand? He doesn't curse them. In private. You know, there's a story told about how there was once this man and the king. The king had donkey ears. Have you heard the story? The king had donkey ears. So he kept it a secret. The only person that knows about it is the barber. Because the king has long hair, and then when he moves, then he sees the donkey ears. Right? And so he told the barber, "You cannot tell anyone that I'm donkey ears." So the barber was very okay, but the barber wanted to laugh. So finally he decided, wow, I need to tell someone. So he dug a hole. It's just a story. He dug a hole in the middle of nowhere and he shouted into the hole, "The king have donkey ears." "The king have donkey ears," in private. Then after he covered it up. Right? And then that was it. So he was very happy. He said it out. Then years later, that piece of land that they built, something for it. And as they built the thing, they opened up the hole, and the words came out, "The king have donkey ears." And the children who were playing there, straight away, "Oh, the king have donkey ears," went home, tell their parents, "Hey, you know, the king has donkey ears." And then the parents went, and everybody started talking about the king has donkey ears. And finally, the king found out, "What? How come you told someone about it?" And then the barber ended up in prison. It's just a story. But the point is, you know, if you are a noble person, then you won't trust. You won't trust. Can you see it? Now, let me ask you, come to the point of it. What is What is noble? What is a person? Can you define for me? Of course, these are all the different expressions. But what is nobility? When we talk about a person who is noble, what is noble? How would you define it? this is a noble person. What do you think?
Someone who's upright.
Okay, upright. He does the right thing. Okay. Himself. What else? So he has what we call a high moral character. Okay, he has a high moral character. He's a noble person with a high moral character. Actually, that's what we look at. You know, of course, the Lord Jesus is the ultimate example. But you can also look at who's, you know, people like this, others who have high moral. What else? Okay, humble. He's humble. He understands how to see himself in reference. Right. He's humble. He learns. He grows. He understands. Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah,
is nobility referring to your status that you are born in the verse, or is it also referring to the character? So it's referring to both things.
Yeah, so the verse tells us this person is son of a noble, right? So he that's a class that he has been born in. But part of the idea of being born in that class is that if you are raised well, you will have. So he's not just focusing on the idea of class that you're born in. You're brought up in nobility. Right? You are a son of a noble. In the true sense of it. Of course, today you don't talk about today's noble. But in the true sense of a person who is brought up in the class of noble, he will have nobility. You follow? That's the point he's trying to make. Kings will, if you come from a class of noble, true nobles who are raised with nobility, then this person will become a good king. He will become a good leader. He knows when to eat, when he's working hard for the country, and he knows that it's not about drunkenness, it's not about his personal pleasure. He eats so that he can be strong enough to continue leading the country. You see, the nobility is there, right? I mean, Singaporeans, when we go to a buffet, what comes to mind? Eat until it's enough. You know, eat until your money's worth. That's the point of the Singaporean mindset when it comes to a buffet. Alright? That's how we all brought up. There's nothing noble about it. But that's how we are brought up. We are brought up in such a way that you make your money worth. That's the point. But a noble will not. A noble person will eat, then he moves on, he works hard. He's not going to spend all his time. Can you see the idea here? Sure, I understand that it's a class, but the way that this person is brought up in that class is with nobility. That's the point. Okay, anything about that? So the idea of noble.
With regards to what you mentioned about the feasting part, someone with self-control.
Yeah, self-control, actually. Right, he's disciplined, he's has self-control. Okay. What is nobility?
Would it be correct to say that it alludes to royalty?
Okay, royalty.
Not just in status, but like in character.
Okay, royalty. Let's just say he is virtuous.
Yes.
Okay, he's virtuous. That's also part of nobility. He's a virtuous person. High moral character. He's a person who is diligent. He's virtuous. Okay, what else? Tim, you want to say anything? Okay, he gives back, right? He gives back to society. He, in other words, he's magnanimous. Okay, he's magnanimous. He has a big heart. He understands how to give back to society. Okay, anybody else? Sorry, you want to say anything? Mobility. Just say, whatever. Or you want to ask something?
To add on to the description, I think someone who is wise and also is able to kind of like exercise like disciplined leadership. So I think
just understand. Sure, wise, disciplined leadership.
I think Lauren took my answer. I was gonna say wise, but I think to add on, it's also like being wise, but also really integrating it into everything you do. So, like, even through the minutes, the minute conversation you have, or the things that you think about, being wise and prudent, how you think is something.
Sure, prudent.
That is it.
I got two more words for you.
I think I would say maybe someone who is conscious of a greater purpose and is willing to put that before himself. In the things that
Can we say it's honorable?
I'll say more like selfless.
Okay, selfless. Okay.
Honorable.
I knew that was coming. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Honorable. He's an honorable person. Okay, and that is so important to being honorable. You are honorable. What you say, your personal integrity. Okay, one last. Anything?
I don't think I know what you're looking for, but
anyway, just say whatever.
I think everyone said a lot of things already. I would say that maybe not the person's quality itself, but as a result, this person will be very well respected.
Sure, honorable. Yep. Yeah. People will honor. Definitely. People will honor. Like, for example, Mr. Or, for the matter, our own pastor. So, he is going to go for an operation most probably in May. Okay. Mentioned that he's going to go for a kidney transplant. And he's going to go for that. So, he's going to be out for a while. Time to pray for him, see how it all goes. Most probably, so I think he's still looking at some more tests to go, and then hopefully, he really needs to go for it. Not he has to go for that. So he needs something for him. Okay. That's something that we want to remember. And to me, as we look back, he's been most of them. Done part really as a leader, person of integrity, use money well, church, built churches overseas, built this Bethany 3 times over. And hopefully another time. Would that be a Bethany 5, right? Bethany 4? Five, right? Yeah, you confuse me, right? Five. I was thinking it's Bethany 5. Yeah, so Bethany 5. Yes. Hopefully there's something. But you see, so at the end of the day, we all have to learn to be more. So it's not just for others to display, it's for all of us to apply. To have this nobility of heart. Okay? Because that is also part of how you receive the Word of God. When you receive the Word of God, this is a noble heart. Okay, let's turn to you. So you. Luke 8. So here's the parable of the sower and the seed. Right? The parable. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Okay, for those who do not know, let me just tell you the story of the parable of the seed. In verse 4, a sower went out to sow his seed. As he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and it was in the birds of the air on rock, and soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among the thorns, and thorns sprang up, and it choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. Now, he explains this parable. The seed is the word. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and take away the word out of his heart, lest they should believe and be saved. Right? So this is a reference to salvation. Can the evil one stop people from believing? Yes. He can stop people from believing. He takes away the word. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. So we can go for camp, the word with joy, but then the word, these have no root, to believe for a while in a time of temptation, far away. So a person can believe for a while, they can be happy, but then when testing comes, oh, that's it, I've stopped. I can't carry it. It's too hard for me. Then they stop believing. There's no root. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life. See the sense of noble nobility. He ends up with pleasure in life. He ends up with what he wants to do in his life. The cares of this life. You see, that's the danger of working. When you get so caught up with work, you have no time for God. You end up with pleasure. You end up with whatever you want in life. Riches, choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, bring no fruit to maturity. Right? You come, but there's no fruit in your life. But the ones that fell on good ground are those having heard the word with a noble and good heart. With nobility. You see, so receiving the word, we must also respond. Noble and good heart. You see, that is also very important. And it is in contrast to the person who doesn't care about the word after he listens. It's in contrast to the person when he's tested, he says, "Ah, okay, forget it. I don't want to carry on. Too hard for me." So the word here is too hard for me. Too hard for me. Too difficult when the testing. And then the third is, oh, you know what? I'm not going to focus on myself. I'm not going to focus on the riches of this world. I'm not going to. So, in other words, you will seek first the kingdom of God. You put God first, no matter what. And then you receive the word with a noble. The emphasis is on a very noble, good heart. It's mentioned twice. A good. Essentially, good and noble are very similar. If you really have a noble heart, you will receive it, you will keep it, you will treasure. The word keep has the idea of treasure, possessing. In Greek, is actually the word have. The word keep is the word having. It's how are you having it. It's how you treasure the word. It's how you treasure the word. Okay? It's how you possess the word or how you hold fast to the word. Okay? It's how you practice the word. It's all with reference to the word keep. And keep it. It becomes part of you. It's not something you hear and then it's gone. It's not something that is there and then there's no room. It's not something that comes and then you forget about it when you get caught up in the world. It's something you treasure. Something that you will hold fast. Something that you will keep. That's why we always tell people after camp, you know, always reflect. So I caught this young, older young adult group, right? And they are all 39, 40 something, middle age. Right? Can you imagine? People like Michael, middle age. You know, when I was teaching him in junior Sunday school. No, not junior Sunday school. In junior camp, I was teaching him in school. Right? So now he's middle age. His son is Sec 1. Right? Sec 1. Time really passes. But time will go by. What is it? So I was telling the group, at the end of the day, are you reflecting? Are you taking the time to keep what you do? And so after almost a month already, after again, right, it's been almost 4 weeks. Now all the reflection all come. Oh, Pastor Me, thank you. It's been a month already. But I'm glad at least they are responding. You know, yesterday I had one, today I had another one, thank you. Took them 1 month to say thank you. Rather I wait 1 month and not at all. Right? And someone wrote, I was very surprised that this person wrote, wow, really thank you for the lesson. Really changed the way they look. And I was very glad. So my challenge to you is, one, do you have a noble heart? Have you thought about having a noble heart? Do you understand what it means to have humility? Who do you know how to respond to God's word? Are you responding to God's word with humility? A noble and good heart, you will keep it, and then it will bear fruit with patience. So you listen to it, you respond to it, you keep it, you endure with it until one day the fruit comes. See, a lot of times, something, somewhere along the line, it stops. We don't endure till the fruit comes. That's why we are not fruitful beyond a certain level. Because we don't endure with it. See, that's what nobility is. He will follow through to the end. He won't stop halfway. Right? So now we're coming to, you know, 4 months already. What is it that has stayed with you? 4 months have gone by, 4 months of learning. We're going to finish the book of Ecclesiastes soon. What is it that really has stayed with you? What is it that you treasure? What is it that you practice, you have kept? What is it that really has bore fruit? Those are important. And then with nobility, you will learn good leadership. You can be a good leader. Right? You know how to be diligent. You know how to respond. You know how to put yourself last. You know how to eat at the right time. I was talking to someone during the week, and the person said, oh, you know, wow, you know, being a doctor is not easy. So this person is a doctor. Young doctor who's training. It's very, very tough. He said, sometimes I sit down, I eat 5 minutes before I can eat the favorite part of my meal, the supervising doctor comes to me and say, hey, come, let's go, we gotta go. So the poor doctor wants to eat the most important part, he gave to his friend, and then he goes. Right? Well, what to do? That's life. You have to do what you have to do. Sometimes you cannot even enjoy your meal. Right? But that's nobility. You do what you have to do. For the sake of others. Then you learn. You learn not to be lazy. You learn how to be hardworking. You learn how to look into details. Right? You learn how to look after a building. You learn how to look after your home. Mobility. The way you look after your home, the way you look after a building that you're in charge of. Mobility. How do you handle money when money is given to you? Do you know how to use money? Do you know how to... So you start earning soon. Some of you have been earning. Do you know how to use the money that God has given to you? Someone was telling me, Mitch, we are learning how to give back to God. It's good. You know, they have a certain amount of money that was given to them. How do I learn? Are you learning to give? See, giving at the end of the day can be a very sensitive thing, but it's also a very personal thing with you and God. But nobody knows what you do. We're not going to come to you and tell you, hey, how much you give, right? We don't. In Switzerland, 10% goes to the government straight away from your pay. 10%. Do you know that? In Switzerland. You've got no choice. That's your tithe. Okay? To the church. That 10% goes to the church straight away. Okay? No, it won't. But it's between you and God. How much do you use? How do you use the money that God has left you? Mobility. And then finally, the idea of you end up with hate, anger, that you end up cursing others. You don't curse others. You learn to be wise. You learn how to have self-control. Do you see the idea of nobility? How it's all expressed. Again? Okay, any other questions? Nope? Okay, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for today's lesson about nobility and how we can learn to have a noble heart and how that nobility, as we learn to respond to your word, can be expressed in different ways. The way we lead others, the way we seek to look after the things that we are responsible for, the way we use money, the way we regard others, and we learn not to curse others. We learn how to express nobility in different ways. And we pray, dear Lord, that you grant us a noble heart. And may we be able, Lord, to cultivate nobility in all that we learn to do as Christians. And we ask, dear Lord, that you bless us.